The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas has left them, Jesus went on to say, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself. And God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so also should you love one another. And this is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel comes from the 13th chapter in the book of John. And it's important for us to understand the sweep of John's Gospel. We have in chapter 1, we have a prologue, very brief prologue, takes up part of chapter 1, and now begins what we call the Book of Signs. And we'll go from chapter 1, in the middle of the chapter 1, up to chapter 12, the end of chapter 12, and here you have the miracles, what John calls signs, various teachings and various miraculous signs that Jesus gives. And now chapter 13 begins what you will see in your Bible as the Book of Glory. And this Book of Glory will go on until chapter 20, and then chapter 21 is called an appendix. It's an addendum. And the text we have in today's Gospel comes from the Book of Glory. Now Raymond Brown, this Johannine scholar, reminds us many times in his writings that in order to understand the power of God's revealed word, especially in the Gospel of John, we have to stand back and look at a larger tapestry. Whereas if you pick details out of it, you may miss the overall unifying teaching. The second fundamental presumption we have comes from Ignatius, founder of the Jesuits. When he speaks about praying the Word of God, he speaks about imaginative contemplation, which is an invitation to find yourself in the Word of God. Let your imagination lead you so that you discover yourself present in the Word of God. It's not a matter of reading God's Word. It's a matter of absorbing the Word of God so that somehow we become one with the Word. And now we look at this Book of Glory. There's one theme that runs through the Book of Glory. The washing of the feet, the teaching of Jesus, the prayer of Jesus. The passion, death of Jesus. This Book of Glory has one theme that runs through it, and the theme is unity. A prayer for unity, a call to unity. And Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you. By this people will know you are my disciples." That's called a mandatum. It's a command to love one another. And it appears in the Book of Glory 7 times. In this last section, the last great teaching of Jesus, he repeats 7 times this mandate to love one another, to become one, to be unified. You'll find that over and over again in the teachings of Jesus in the last discourse. It's the Last Supper. It's not the Last Supper. It's the Last Supper. I mean, the last words you want people to hear. It's the legacy that Jesus is leaving. I've often wondered about parents. Parents think about the legacy they will leave, or priests. I'm an elder person. I think about legacy. I've often wondered, if I could write my epitaph. And if people said, well, he raised money and he built buildings, I would turn in my grave in disappointment. But if people said, he reconciled one person, just one would be enough. He gave hope to one person, included somebody who felt left out, healed somebody who was wounded, that would be enough to make my life and my priesthood meaningful. That would be my epitaph. Parents think like that. They think about passing on something to their children. Frequently, people build nest eggs for the college tuition, make sure their children don't go in debt, or they don't have burdens, or they don't have hardships in life, such as the parents did. Or they think about not spending too much money because they want the children to get the money. And yet there is a greater inheritance that we have to leave. It's an inheritance of unity. It's a call to be one. It's a call to hold people together. Look at the very diverse community to which Jesus is speaking. You have somebody who will betray him. You have somebody who will deny him. And the others will leave him in a time of crisis, abandon him. And he's saying, but become one. Bind yourselves together. This is how the world will know. How will the world know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ? By how many people come to Mass? By the numbers we have? That's not what Jesus says. Perhaps by our success, our worldly success. The size of a community, the size of buildings, the popularity. Jesus says, that's not the measure. Perhaps by the applause of the world, the recognition of the world, you will be known by the manner in which you love one another. Now we're struggling with that in our society these days, to extend our love to those who are on the margins, to those who don't fit in, those who don't qualify. It's easy to find who these people are. Sometimes we find them even in our families. People who don't quite fit in, don't meet our expectations. And yet the call to be authentic followers of Jesus Christ is a call to unity, to love. Now love is maligned by Hollywood because love becomes an emotion. I just feel good. You feel good. We all feel good. We're all in love. But love is a decision. It's an act of the will. Sometimes your children will drive you crazy. You want to kill them, but you love them. So you don't kill them. Well, there's a commandment about that anyway. But outside the commandment. But it's a love which is sacrificial. A love which causes us to grow and extend ourselves, to be greater, to be better, to be more generous. That's love. That's a decision. It's not an emotion. There are times when the emotion will disappear, but I will decide. It's a fervent, generous, inclusive embrace of love. That's the love Jesus is speaking about. And sometimes it's difficult. It's a challenge. Think about imaginative contemplation here, the Ignatian style of prayer. I'm reminded, this really struck my imagination when I first came upon Johann Paul Richter, this German writer. And when I came upon this, I closed my eyes and had the vision. And he went on to say this. He said, two aged men who had been foes for life met at a grave and wept. And their tears wiped away the memory of their strife. And they wept again for the years that were lost. Do we have to wait that long to be reconciled? Tragically. Tragically. Sometimes we wait too long to become disciples of Jesus Christ. The call of God's word today. Amen.